Thank you for downloading this program from the BBC. This program is part of World War One on the BBC. For more information, go to bbc.co.uk/ww1.
The 18th of July. The Russian Foreign Minister, Sergei Sazanov, returns from his summer holiday to a tent city. An aide is waiting for him at the station with serious news. The Russians have just found out that Austria-Hungary is planning some kind of an ultimatum to Serbia. Sazanov hopes for peace, but he is conscious of Russia's need to behave like a great power and as a protector of fellow Slavs. The Austrian ambassador in Russia does his best to reassure Sazanov. The minutes of the meeting show the two men fencing with each other.
The Austrian ambassador spoke in the most peaceable manner of an entire absence in Austria of any intention of rendering relations with Serbia more acute. Sazanov remarked, he was as docile as a lamb.
Russia is not ready to strike at present.
In Germany, the Foreign Secretary, Gottlieb von Jago, is hopeful that Russia will stay out of a conflict between Austria-Hungary and Serbia. But he's resigned to a war with Russia at some point, and sooner would be better than later. He writes to his friend, the German ambassador in London.
Russia will be prepared to fight in a few years. Then she will crush us by the number of her soldiers. Our alliance, in the meantime, will have become weaker. In Russia, this is well known, and they are determined to have peace for a few years yet.
Germany's chief ally only adds to Jago's pessimism. Austria-Hungary really isn't a great power anymore, and its hesitations in dealing with Serbia are maddening.
There may be different opinions as to whether we get all our money's worth from an alliance with that ever-increasingly disintegrating composition of nations beside the Danube. But in this I say with the poet, if no longer you like your company, look for another, if any there be.
Jago and his colleagues in the civilian government still have some hopes of improving Germany's international position by mending fences with Britain. But a newspaper story shows yet again the lack of understanding between the two countries. The Crown Prince, even more impulsive and tactless than his father the Kaiser, puts his foot in it during a dinner at the British Embassy.
The prince suddenly turned to the British ambassador and asked, "Where are your spies?" "Spies?" queried the astonished ambassador. "I mean your military attaché and your naval attaché." "Neither have anything to do with spying," retorted the ambassador. "Of that I can give your highness the fullest assurance." "Oh, come now," said the prince. "We too have military attachés, and I know all about their methods."
In Britain, news from the Empire gets as much attention as affairs in Europe. The Times reports the words of a young Indian lawyer.
"I'm leaving South Africa, but not my connection with this land."
Mohandas Gandhi is setting sail from Cape Town. He's been campaigning for rights for Indians in South Africa for over 20 years.
"There should not be legal racial inequality between different subjects of the crown."
So it has its problems. The British Empire may be changing for the better. And it has never looked so strong. On the continent, Britain appears to be in a good position. Friends with France and Russia, but not committed to supporting them in war. That's the theory, at least. It remains to be seen how it will hold up when put to the test.
Explore World War One on the BBC through our in-depth, interactive online content. Curated by experts and reporters including Ian McMillan, Kate Adey and Frank Gardner, each guide blends documentary, discussion and short films to take you through some of the key issues, from life in the trenches to poetry, propaganda and the role of women. To discover compelling new perspectives on the war that changed everything, go to bbc.co.uk/ww1.